This is the Eye on the Illini, a podcast series from the good people at IlliniGuys.com, your source for insider information on the Fighting Illini athletic teams and the power behind the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular, the syndicated show heard on 25 radio stations and in six states across the Midwest every weekend on the Illini Guys Radio Network. This podcast brought to you by the great folks at Homefield Apparel, premium collegiate sportswear, super comfortable, sweet vintage designs, just unveiled in time for March, so get your swag on before the tournament games begin. Homefieldapparel.com and tell them you're an Illini guy. That's the special code, Illini Guys, and you'll get 15% off your first purchase just like that. That's homefieldapparel.com. Recently on the Sports Spectacular, we caught up with Illini legend Doug Altenberger, one of the greatest players ever to come out of Peoria. Doug told us how he picked Illinois over a little school down south, among others, and that little game back in 1984 that forever changed the way the nation watches the NCAA tournament. Here he is, Doug Altenberger, with the Illini Guys in this special edition of Eye on the Illini. Right back here in the Sports Spectacular. We go 2 hours nonstop. Glad you're still with us here. This segment presented by OSF Healthcare. And our next guest, truly one of my personal all-time favorites. He's number 22 in your program, number one in your precious orange and blue hearts, Doug Altenberger. Doug, welcome to the Sports Spectacular.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm honored to be, I saw in the email, the prestigious people that you've had on the past. So, and a lot of guys that I know and good friends. So it's nice to be on the show.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We've had a lot of fun, and this show doesn't work unless you guys take up your time to spend time with us. So certainly we appreciate it as well. Yeah, we have a lot we want to talk to you about. I want to go back a few years to start off here. What do you remember about your recruitment back when you were in high school? I mean, to us, you've always been an Illini, of course, but was there ever a possibility of you going elsewhere?
Well, I was recruited. I liked the Big Ten. And my sophomore year, I went to Peoria Richwoods High School, the home of the Knights. Mark Smith and Derek Holcomb were from there. They played at Illinois. My dad had played at Illinois in the 50s. So I had gone to the games. I used to go to the football games. We went to a few of the basketball games. I was always playing basketball, so I didn't go to that many. I used to laugh in the 70s. We would go and, we'd tailgate. My dad with Heil Stout, who played football in Illinois, who moved to Peoria. He was a legend in Peoria. So anyway, we'd go to the games and we would tailgate. And then at halftime, we'd see Chief Illiniwek. But back then in the 70s, we were so bad that by the third quarter, my dad was back tailgating with Heils. And then by the fourth quarter, we were on I-74 going back. So I never saw the end of any football game in the 70s because we'd always be down 40 to 10 or, 35 to nothing. So anyway, my point was, I got when I got my sophomore year, we went downstate and we had a good basketball team. And so I got exposure. There was no AAU back then. There was nothing. So I got invited to go to this basketball camp. It was in Rensselaer, Indiana, which I had no idea where that was. And I figured it out. My dad drove me over there, dropped me off. And I thought I played horrible in this camp. And the next thing you know, my whole mailbox was full of letters from all these schools. So I was like, whoa, what happened here? So it was a real opportunity for me, to play in the state tournament down in Champaign. I fell in love with U of I, but I wanted to look at other schools. So I looked at Purdue. I liked Minnesota, Iowa, and I looked at Kentucky. Bobby Knight recruited me in Indiana as well. And those are sort of the schools that I settled on. There was an unknown guy from Duke who came into the house, and he said, just call me Coach K because no one can say my last name. And so, it was really fun to have all the coaches come. My mom used to make this chili and they would come and they'd always wanted to try to eat the hot chili that my dad grew up in East St. Louis. So he loved hot food. And so, we still laugh about it. All the coaches would say, I want to eat the same chili that that Bill's eating, my dad. And my mom's like, I don't know if that's a good idea. Then my grandpa, would go to, I think it was Iowa, or maybe he had to go a little farther, but back then you could only get Coors west of the Mississippi. It didn't come east of there. So my dad always had, a few 12 packs of Coors So the coaches always come in and have a couple beers and have some chili and sit in my living room and talk about, you know, all the things they were going to, you know, how I was going to help the team and all that stuff. So it was always good. My dad and I, who's alive, and my mom as well, who live in Peoria, we still laugh about those stories.
So what was the deciding factor? So you've got quite a few coaching legends who you got to talk to about your recruitment. What made you decide that University of Illinois and Coach Henson was where you wanted to play?
Well, I was, a lot of times the assistant coaches do a lot of the recruiting.
Yep.
Dion, we talked with Jimmy Collins, who recruited him. So you have a real good relationship. And I had a great relationship with Dick Nagy, who just passed away not that long ago. But I like Dick. He was a straight shooter. That's just sort of the way I am. You know, if I've got something wrong or I need to improve, I just get to the punchline. So he was great. I like Coach Henson. They signed Bruce Douglas and Ephraim Winters. They were, think about it back then. They were two Parade All-American, McDonald All-Americans. It was number one recruiting class. I knew Bruce. I knew Ephraim. And I was like, hey, listen, this could be pretty special. So my dad played there. It checked all the boxes. I liked Purdue a lot. So it came that basically down to Iowa, Purdue, and Illinois. So Tony Yates finally, I waited till a little bit later, a few months before, after Bruce and Ephraim, but Tony Yates brought me in and he said, Doug, you know, we really need, you're going to play here. You know, you're a perfect player for our system. And not that Coach Henson didn't do it, but Tony really was able to tell me, Doug, we think you could be really fit in well with Bruce and Ephraim. And then a week later, I said, Dad, let's, I want to go to Illinois. So we drove down to Champaign, went to Coach Henson's house. And, I told Coach that I wanted to play for him. And, the rest is history. It was a great choice. And, I to this day, a day doesn't go by or a few days doesn't go by. And, someone will talk about the good old days in the 80s. And, and I met my wife there. My mom went to school there. And my brother worked at the University of Illinois for 25 years. So the school has been a big part of the Altenberger family.
So there was no question that Illinois was going to be your home. So that's good to know. Question I have for you, Doug, is I was 5-6 years old when you were at Illinois, and you were the first person that I ever saw that could shoot from the outside. And I figure that if the 3-point line had been around maybe your freshman year, you probably would be the all-time leader in 3 points, no doubt, right?
Well, we didn't shoot it as much back then. I did shoot a lot of shots behind the 3-point line. I remember when we played in the East Regional against Georgia Tech, they had an NBA 3-point line and we were down a bunch of points. And so I made a few long shots and I just kept shooting it. And I remember going back and looking at the tape and I thought, well, geez, I'm even behind the 3-point line in the NBA. So the college one was pretty short. It was, pretty close. So I loved, my job, was to throw it into the post. Back then we had like more of a two-man game where you threw it inside, they kicked it back out. Right now they do a lot of high ball screens and all, that's a different game. But, I had Ephraim Winters on the block. I had George Montgomery, Ken Norman. So, that was sort of our offense. We would run some back screens and stuff like that. But, I shot a lot of three. Now, Coach Henson used to always say, now, Doug, my senior year they had it. And I shot well over 50% most of the year. And he said, now, we'll let you shoot those. But, if you miss a few, we don't want you taking any more shots. So it wasn't until Rick Pitino with Providence and Billy Donovan and Delray Brooks, those guys really made it a weapon and showed the rest of the coaches that, I look at stats all the time. If you can defend the 3-point line and make a few more than the other teams, it overcomes a lot of deficiencies on the on the spreadsheet there. So it definitely it's a great weapon for college basketball. And I wish I could come out of retirement, because now in the NBA, that's all they do is shoot threes.
Make a lot of money.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. My agent, who is a good friend of mine, we always have lunch like maybe once every six months or a year. And he's like, Augie, that was my nickname in college. He's like, you were about 7-8 years too early. He goes, now everybody's shooting the three. I said, so, but anyway, but yeah, I used to tell kids when they wanted me, you know, to talk and stuff, I said, you know, I shot 1,000 jump shots in the morning before school, and I thought shot 1,000 jump shots after school, even after practice. So, you know, the old saying, practice makes perfect. So I was always trying to figure, you know, trying to be a great shooter, and I worked really hard on it.
Yeah, analytics have totally changed the game. You know, I kind of feel for you there too, because I graduated from high school in 1987. So they brought the three-pointer in 87, 88, right after I was gone. So I can appreciate that. Much better to – we got 3-for-2, right? But I want to – I got to ask you a question about, you know, a lot of Illini fans today, they're kind of have some animosity towards Kentucky. But you have to have more animosity towards Kentucky than anybody, right? I mean, going back to that, what was that like, that game in the Elite Eight game?
Well, we had won the Big Ten. We had played I forget who we played in the first round. I want to say it was Villanova. But then we played Maryland, and Maryland was loaded. They had Len Bias. And we got up on a big lead on them, and then we were able to hold on at the end. And I think we won by 2 or 3, but Maryland had like 5 or 6 guys in the NBA. Kentucky was completely loaded. We had played them earlier in the year. That was the famous game where we didn't have any officials. So they pulled 3 guys from the stands, and Joe B. Hall said it was the best officiated college basketball game he's ever been involved in. So we ended up, you know, we had a we lost to them in the last second shot, so we felt that we could hang with them and we could compete. What we didn't really know is, you know, we would be playing at Rupp Arena and playing against them, so it was sort of cool because, you know, there's 20,000 fans. There was the biggest arena in basketball, so, you know, we've had this orange and blue streak of about 2,000 fans right up in one section there. So we played great, and you know, we got it down to, you know, a 1-point lead there, and we thought we were in a bail, and we knew it was going to be a close game. And so when Hank Nichols he just made a bad call, and you know, the guy traveled or whatever, it was a jump ball, and he decided to call a foul on Bruce. So, but we always thought we'd come back the next year. We thought we had everybody coming back, and we would be able to make another run at it. And it just didn't materialize our junior year. We still had a good year, but, you know, we didn't win the Big Ten, and we didn't get to the Final Four, and that was really our goal. That team was pretty special. I always felt like that team really put Lou on the map. He had great recruiting. We had finally won the Big Ten. And then shortly after that, the Flying Illini came, but then I just go brain dead here. The young man that was shot in Chicago, Ben Wilson.
Ben Wilson.
Yeah. Ben was going to come and play. I'll never forget, you know, when I heard the news, we were together as a team, and Jimmy Collins was recruiting him. And so we really had it going with that class, and we had a lot of momentum. And I can't really imagine what happens if we had Ben on that team.
You know, it's funny that not funny. It's, I guess I should wrong word to use. It's, interesting, I guess, that we all of us who were a part of the Illinois prep scene, involved in sports, those of you there at the university, whatever, we all remember where we were in November, as it was 1984, when that happened, when Benny was shot, Benji Wilson. I have to ask you before we move forward. I know what all of us as Illini fans, what we say. We make sure that people know that that game in 84 Rupp Arena was the game that changed the trajectory of the NCAA tournament, in terms of there is never again, the next year, the finals were at Rupp. It was already preset. But after that, they changed the rule. You couldn't have your home court. Do you ever share that with people? And I mean, when people ask you, you say, hey, by the way, we were the team. We were the reason that this happens now.
Well, I don't, I mean, someone will bring it up or whatever. And, or someone says, you know, what, you know, they'll ask about our my career or whatever. And I said, we had a really good team my sophomore year. And, you know, we almost went to the Final Four and you know, we were so close. The cool part of that was when we flew home, we were sort of devastated that we had lost. And I'll never forget, there was thousands of people at the airport waiting for us. And we didn't know. We had no, we were totally surprised. So at that point, it sort of hit home what we accomplished and what we had done. And it sort of was like, whoa, you know, as a player, you're usually in a vacuum, you're in a routine. You don't really, you know, you don't read the newspapers. You don't listen to the radio. You don't listen to TV. I mean, you're sort of like just focused on what you need to accomplish and stuff like that. So I just remember coming home after that really being, it was, you know, we were like, whoa, this is really cool. So it was a great year. The 80s belonged to the Illini. You know, it was just an amazing, football was rolling, basketball. We had things going, and it was just a fun time. Neil Stoner was ahead of his time, and he really, you know, upset the apple cart with the Big Ten, which I to this day. So here's a cool story for you. So the commissioner, Wayne Duke, lives in Barrington, and we go to the same barber. And so Wayne, you know, was retired, and, you know, I'm done playing basketball. And we would argue about, you know, the Big Ten and Michigan and Ohio State. And I used to always tease Wayne. You know, he said, well, you know, you guys in Illinois, you were cheating. And I used to say, oh, yeah. And Michigan and Ohio State aren't cheating. OK, you know, it's the old saying in the South of what's the, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying or whatever it is. I mean, everybody pushes the rules a little bit. And so anyway, I used to tease Wayne all the time about it. And but it was, I look back in the 80s, it was just going to the Rose Bowl and everything. And it just was a great time to be an Illini fan. And so I look back and what we, you know, cause we had struggled in the 70s, and to do what they did in such a short time was pretty cool.
And you guys kind of kicked it off, and now we see what the team is today. You know, with your background, and you played obviously college basketball at the highest level, when you take a look at this year's Illini team, what do you think, like, how would you describe the team, and how would you approach playing them based on, you know, your experiences?
Well, I think, you know, like I did the game last night in Lincoln. I mean, when you've got older guys, you know, you don't have to go through, I mean, they know what to expect every night. You know, they know what the effort needs to be in there. And it's just, when I was a senior, I had redshirted. I came back my senior year. So I was the team captain. So I sort of knew I had made mistakes or knew the mistakes that we had made. So, you know, I look at like Trent Frazier and Damonte. I mean, to have guys like that who've been, who got their butt kicked their freshman year, you know, they still remember those days, and you don't want to go back there. So they're setting the culture, and, you know, all that. So I enjoy watching those guys perform. And then I love to see how they affect the younger guys like Hawkins. You know, now he's, instead of Hawkins thinking of scoring first, now he's thinking of rebounding. He's thinking of defense. And, you know, fans don't understand, you know, you can't get on the floor. Coach won't put you out there unless you play defense, number one. And number two, you take care of the little things. And so it's cool to see that. Payne last night, who's worked so hard in practice, finally was able to deliver. And without him that last 5 minutes, we might not win that game. So I love to see those stories, guys who put the time in and the work in and, you know, and come through this. This team, you know, Brad's done a tremendous job just to turn it around and have the success that we've had this 2.5 years. You know, he was rough the first 2 years, but, you know, Brad's been through some, you know, he's been through this restructuring and he's done he's been very, very fortunate because Kofi was great. And Io, you know, he picked the right guy. You know, there were some other players he could have picked. And those guys really helped us turn the program around.
So just looking at this, the future down the road, obviously they're 5-0, they're first in the Big Ten. What do you get? Does this team have the potential to make that run to the Final Four?
Well, I think their guard play is, you know, with Trent and DeMonte and Jake, you know, they're playing very well together. I mean, they're distributing the ball, they're making the extra pass, cutting to the basket. You have Kofi, there's just nobody like him in college. You know, everybody asks me about the NBA, and I said, you know what, I don't know. I don't know if his game will be able to take it to the next level. But this team has got the ability, because last year they didn't get to the tournament. Unless you've been to the tournament, you don't know what expectations are. This team knows what happened against Loyola. They know, you know, what it takes to get through the Big Ten. I think they've got Elite Eight written all over them. And if they're lucky, they could get back to the Final Four. You know, they've got that. They've got the experience now, and experience is huge. Like for, I'll go back to the 89 team when they were all freshmen. I was a senior and we played Austin Peay, and I kept telling all the young kids, listen, when you get to the NCAA tournament, they're all good. You know, they're all good. I mean, they're either conference champions, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I was trying to stress that, but you know, the guys, you know, were just young and they didn't know what to expect. And we got upset, unfortunately, and Dick Vitale stood on his head. And so, you know, that was unfortunate, but we had a good year that year. We were 13-5. We'd won the last four games and we were playing really well. And then the kids just thought, oh, okay, we're just going to go to the tournament. And they weren't ready to play. So I think this team, you know, what I'm trying to say is I think this team has got experience and they're getting deeper. They're getting health, you know, they're healthier now. And, you know, if Curbelo comes back, great. I think they've made the adjustments. If he doesn't come back, they're still going to be okay either way. So I it'll be interesting to see how February kicks in, because February is a really tough schedule for them. They got a lot of games on the road, and you know, it's a little different than here in January. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they went undefeated in January.
We will leave it there, but hopefully you will come back and join us later on in the season and get more of your insights on this team. This has been we could talk the whole 2 hours, but we know you have to get to other things. Doug Altenberger, thrilled you could spend some time with us. And again, we hope you'll come back soon.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. And I enjoyed it. And good luck and keep it going and go Illini.
Doug Altenberger, as he appeared on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular on the Illini Guys Radio Network. Special thanks to Homefield Apparel for their support. Vintage designs just introduced in time to root on your Illini in the upcoming NCAA tournament. Get 15% off your first purchase by using the code IlliniGuys. That's on homefieldapparel.com. That's homefieldapparel.com. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll see you next time on Eye on the Illini.